Let's take our Bibles, shall we? And we'll turn for a few moments to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're beginning another series on great personages of the Bible, and we've arrived, 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to be looking at five qualities of a servant of God. I'm going to read verses 19 through 21. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. On April the 21st, in the year 1519, the Spanish explorer Hernando Cortez sailed into the harbor of Veracruz, Mexico. He brought with him only about 600 men on this expedition. And yet over the next 2 years, his vastly outnumbered forces were able to defeat Montezuma and all of the warriors of the Aztec Empire. This made Cortez the conqueror of all of Mexico. How was he able to do such an incredible feat with only 600 men? Take into account, for instance, that two prior expeditions had failed to even establish a colony on the Mexican soil. Here's the secret. Cortez knew from the very beginning that he and his men faced incredible odds. He knew that the road before them would be dangerous and difficult, and he knew that his men would be tempted to abandon their quest, and they wanted to return to Spain. So as soon as Cortez and his men had come ashore and unloaded all of their provisions, he ordered the entire fleet of 11 ships destroyed. His men stood on the shore and watched their only possibility of returning to Spain totally destroyed by flames. They knew beyond any doubt that there was no return now to the old world. Their only option was to go forward, to conquer or die. I think of that little chorus that we used to sing when we were in teen department. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. We need to look at the world behind us and the Lord before us. Here in this chapter, as we look at five qualities of a servant that was used of God, we need to ask ourselves this evening before we go to prayer, are these qualities found in my life? Let's take a look at the narrative that we've just taken the time to read. Let's look a little bit closer at our passage in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19. The first characteristic of a servant of God is that, number one, he is industrious. He is industrious. He is busy and faithful in what he is seeking to do. You know, the world is filled with people that are negligent, that are concerned about doing their job just to get by. Just enough to keep from getting called on the carpet. Just enough to get by. Just enough to make it. And then they say, well, God is calling me into the ministry. You know, if God is calling you into the ministry, he wants you to be faithful where you are. Too many people are unfaithful where they are, and because they can't find anything else to do, they say, well, God's calling me into the ministry. I've seen that before. And yet we see a man called of God named Elisha. And Elisha was an industrious man. Notice when God calls him, what is he doing? He's plowing. He's not afraid to work with his hands. The Bible teaches that if a man will not work, neither should he eat. If you want God's direction in your life, get busy serving the Lord. It says in verse 19 that as Elijah departed, he found Elisha, the son of Shaphath, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Elisha was a wealthy farmer. Very few had 12 yoke of oxen. And not only that, he had 11 co-workers working with him, but he wasn't afraid to get in the mix himself. He wasn't just a delegator, but he was willing to roll up his sleeves and do work himself. Are you faithful in that which God has called you? Am I faithful at that which God has called me? The key, you see, is that if we're faithful in the little, God will send more. If you want God's direction in your life, get busy serving the Lord. The Lord will not steer an immobile Christian. Have you ever seen a child behind the steering wheel of a car? Well, I hope that you don't let that happen. Thank the Lord that modern cars today have the steering lock mechanism. But you know, if you were to get behind the wheel of your car and even turn the ignition so that the anti-lock steering wheel is rendered inoperative, you're able to move the wheels, you're not going to go anywhere until you start moving, you see. And that's important. One of my boys is taking driving lessons from Dad. That's okay. I've been through it before. And it's always Dad's job, you understand, at least in our household, maybe not in yours. But that's Dad's job. But we're doing three-point turns right now. So we're practicing on Highway 50, right? No, just kidding. But we found a nice deserted industrial park. And after work, after the showers, and after everything is settled down after eating, we take our trip to the industrial park, and we're working on three-point turns. But you know, a three-point turn doesn't work unless you're moving. You can turn the steering wheel all you want in either direction, but you're not going to go until you're moving. No matter how sincere you may be tugging and moving that steering wheel, you have to be moving in order to be led by the Lord. Elisha was a man who was moving in a direction, and he wanted to do his best for the Lord. Elisha was a wealthy servant. He had cultivated his land, but yet he was willing to be faithful. Don't lose your place in 1 Kings chapter 19, but if you'll take the time to turn to Proverbs 16:9. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9 reads, "A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps." This is a wonderful verse, and there are many that speak about God's sovereignty and man's responsibility right in the same verse. And here's a picture of man devising his way, moving out, being busy for the Lord, but yet the Bible says the Lord directs his steps. I believe that was the case with this man called Elisha. Are you faithful, working for the Lord? God will direct when you're moving for Him. Not only was he industrious, but let's look at another consideration in Elisha's life. In the latter part of verse 19, he was not only industrious, but he was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. Look at verse 19. He's plowing, yes, but then it says here, Elijah comes and casts his mantle upon him. You know, the mantle symbolizes a confirmation of divine power. The mantle was perhaps the most important article of clothing that a resident of that time would wear. The mantle was used for warmth in cold weather. It was even used for bedding if you had to sleep under the stars and you'd cover yourself with your mantle. It was used even as a place to sit if you were having a little picnic and you wanted to kind of lay aside something to sit upon. It was oftentimes even torn to pieces to express grief. And most of all, of course, as seen here, it was a confirmation of authority. Here Elijah puts his mantle on Elisha's shoulders to show that he would soon be Elijah's successor. And here was Elisha. Not only was he industrious, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and individuals recognized that to be the case. You look at the lives of the disciples, and there are multiple fillings in their lives and experiences. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible tells us on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Later in chapter 4 and verse 31, they're forbidden to speak in the name of the Lord by the magistrates, the Sanhedrin, and the Bible says they're filled with the Holy Spirit again, and they proclaim the word of God with boldness. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." We are commanded to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. But with every new trial that comes our way, we need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, the trial that you're carrying on your shoulders today, perhaps it's multifaceted. Perhaps it changes on a daily basis. We need a daily filling, a daily controlling of the Holy Spirit to have wisdom to know how to handle that situation. Oh, may we include that in the midst of our prayer requests tonight. That those that are going through trials and afflictions, and we have our sheets before us today for prayer, may we pray for an infilling of the Holy Spirit of God in the lives of each one of these that know Christ as Savior. If they're not saved, we certainly need to pray for their salvation. But let's not be short-sighted, narrow-minded into thinking that, oh, Lord, just remove the trial. God is wanting to do a greater work than that. Remember, in John 15:5, the Bible says, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Let's take a look at the third characteristic of this man, called of God, used of God. He was industrious. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 20. He was a man of commitment. He left the oxen and he ran after Elijah. He was leaving his only means of occupation that he knew. You know, there might be someone listening to my voice tonight. God is calling you into full-time occupational Christian service, and you're afraid to let go of what you know to be your previous calling, and God is leading you into a new area of service. Are you willing to leave the oxen and run after Elijah, as it were? But notice, some look at what follows as a contradiction. He says, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother." You know, if you compare this passage with Luke chapter 9 and verse 59, and I'd encourage you to turn there. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 59. Don't lose your place in 1 Kings. But in Luke 9, verse 59, we have a similar situation. Notice, someone said, I want to follow you. But the Lord said, follow me. But notice, the Lord said, he said to the Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now, what does that verse mean? Does that mean that the father was in a casket and the Lord wouldn't give him time to put him in the ground? No, he was saying, I want to hang around until my parents are dead, and then I'll go and do what you want me to do, Lord. It is obvious that here in Luke chapter 9, the Lord looked deeply into the heart of this individual, and he saw that his heart was not willing to follow the Lord. But conversely, in the life of Elisha, God saw a willingness to go unconditionally, but he wanted to honor his parents briefly, and then he would return to the place of his calling. And that was the difference between the gospel account, which was a feigned expression of discipleship, in contrast with Elisha's life. Now, what about your experience and commitment to the Lord? Is it one of convenience? Is it one of insincerity? Or is it truly a sincere willingness to unconditionally follow the Lord? If God called you to leave father and mother and go to a foreign field, or if God called you to pick up everything that you knew to be familiar and go across a mission field or even a national ministry, a home mission, something totally different from that which you've known or ever done before, would you be willing to go? God knew Elisha's heart, that he would be steadfast in his dedication. And you know, the truth of the matter is, God can entrust certain servants with wealth, and they still are willing to do whatever God wants them to do. Here, Elisha was a well-to-do man, and yet he was willing to cast it all down and follow God. Conversely, you might be as poor as a church mouse and unwilling to leave the little that you have and follow God. It's not always a matter of materialism. It's a matter of the heart. Are we willing to follow the Lord? Some do not want to leave wealth and recognition and authority, but not Elisha. God knows us better than we know ourselves. God deals differently with different people. We can certainly see that. But he was a man, number three, of commitment. Now look at verse 21, and let's look at the fourth characteristic of Elisha's walk with God. He was a man of consecration. A man of consecration. Notice it says, he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and he slew them. Now here, he's doing just like Cortez's men did. He's burning his bridges behind him. He's not saying, okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to kind of save my oxen in case God changes his mind, or maybe in case things don't work out like I think they ought to, I think I'm going to save my oxen. No, the Word of God says he took a yoke of oxen and he slew them. He boiled their flesh. What a picture of burning your bridges behind you. By killing his oxen, he made a strong commitment to follow Elijah. And without them, he could not return to his life as a wealthy farmer. He was cutting his cords behind him. You know, Jim Elliot, martyred by the Alka Indians, made the statement, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Think of the woman at the well in John chapter 4 and verse 28. She was willing to leave her water pot and run and tell people that she had met the Messiah. She was willing to leave her only source of upkeep and ministry and care for herself and her loved ones, left her water pot, and was willing to tell others about the Lord. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 20, the disciples, it is said, left their nets and followed Jesus. The nets are a picture of the life of fishing. And you remember in John 21, when Peter was discouraged, what did he do? He wanted to go back. I go a-fishing. But the Lord gently reminded him, there's no turning back from following me. Are you willing to commit yourself to these qualities? Look at verse 21, the second part, the fifth quality of a servant of God. It says, he arose, went after Elijah, and notice, ministered unto him, a servant's heart. Elisha had a servant's heart. Here he was giving orders to his workers in verse 19, a man of great authority, but in following God, he was willing to allow a probationary period in his life where he could sit under the authority of someone that could teach him and prepare him. There have been cases of people who were CEOs in great companies, hundreds of people under them, who were called into the ministry and they were willing to go back to seminary and prepare for 7 years and study hard and then go into a church ministry as an assistant or an associate pastor and learn the ropes and sit under the tutelage of a man that would mentor them and help them. And yet, men who previously had had great authority, they were willing to be taught. And that's the nature of a true leader, one who is willing to be under the leadership of another. Are we willing to commit these characteristics to our lives? What are they? He was an industrious man. He was plowing when God called him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, received Elijah's mantle. He was a man of commitment. He was willing to leave all behind. And yes, he honored his parents, but he was willing to go and follow the Lord. He was a consecrated man who burnt his bridges behind him, but he had a servant's heart, a man who knew how to serve. Jesus said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Our Lord was willing to lead, how? By the towel and by the basin. May God challenge us to be faithful in our stewardship wherever we might be. As a housewife, at the office, at the school, in the workplace, at the garage, wherever we might be faithful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life of this servant of God, used of God. A man, Lord, who would see double portions of the grace and miracle working of God. And it all came about because he was a man that had these five qualities. Father, may we surrender ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Any area of our lives that is holding us back from being what you would have us to be, may we surrender to you even tonight. Bless us, Lord, as we follow you. And, Lord, as we go to prayer and bring these requests before you, just minister and guide in every need presented. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.